Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This week in league, George Burgess passes the St. George culture test with flying fingers.
The West Tigers finally find a way to keep Knoffer in line with his A and B defenders, park them all in front of pokies.
Sam Ayoub under investigation for human trafficking after being caught trying to smuggle a busted cunt in from Japan.
Plus, we look forward to all the action for round 3 of the 2022 NRL season.
All that and more this week in league. Welcome to episode 448 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I am soon to be sued for defamation. And I appreciate your input, guys.
Yeah.
No longer the roadblock. Ah, it's fucking the greatest compliment ever bestowed upon me, which says something about you pieces
of
shit.
Glennie, you know, if that was ghostwritten, then you'll get off scot-free. And all you'll need to prove it would be the very obvious thing, like an email or an electronic communication with the person that wrote it sent it to you, as happens every week on the show.
I am recording this entire Skype situation. Did not tell you guys that.
Yeah. Your side of the conversation, pal.
No, I'm recording the video as well. You guys just aren't technologically.
And
fuck! I'm not recording it. clearly, no one believes that.
You're safe because it's a statement of fact. Blake Ferguson is busted. And any judge in Australia would objectively agree is a cunt.
Love it. Oh, fuck.
There's not much of a story around it to report yet, but he's being shopped around. He spent 29 days in jail, and after his time in jail, the judge over in Japan ruled that that was a sufficient penalty, and they returned his passport and booted him the fuck out, and he landed back over here over the weekend. So,
do you reckon he'll get a
start?
Not
sure if there's any suitors for. Look, I'm not sure there's a 32-year-old, any suitors for a 32-year-old player who was fading, you know, so badly that, you know, he had to change codes and go overseas.
Mate, listen, do you not remember 2010? El Takiri.
Yeah, he won a fucking grand final in 2014. What's your point?
Just saying. There's some, other than the fact that Lottie Takiri is a fucking a hero.
And he never got that hat trick.
He never quite did.
Stop it.
I don't know why you keep bringing up old shit.
That's a frivolous domain name purchase that was fun for a few years ago.
I'll tell you what. If Blake Ferguson finds a club, I never want to hear a fucking peep out of anyone saying that there is, arguing against the fact that there's not enough talent for expansion. If he gets a fucking first grade run.
Yeah, so this is the thing. I mean, if you think about it, where the fuck would he even get a run? And I mean, I know you're saying the Tigers, Glennie, but they've got club stalwart, Nofaluma, and then they've got one of their club, Malmolo's one of their club captains this year, right? They're not signing him. The Bulldogs, however, have got Ockenbaugh, who on the weekend had one of the all-time mares. Tallest guy in the field, smallest vertical leap, and some of the video I saw through the week of his reads in defence were just absolutely abysmal.
Yeah.
Abysmal.
Yeah.
And so, look, you know, maybe they don't have anybody in the wings and maybe they might want to risk it on someone who has, you know, had success in the past and, you know, if you erase all of the bad traits from him is an experienced player who's played at the highest level. You know what I mean? But I honestly don't think there's another club that would have the need for a busted old ass winger. I mean, like Broncos are carrying one as it is.
Yeah.
Cowboys are carrying one as it is. Kyle Felt, Glennie.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I said it. Corey Oates, Glennie.
Honestly, no, I knew you meant Corey Oates. I thought you might have been just jamming it into Valentine Holmes. I was like, wow, mate, he's fucking taking back prisoners tonight.
I got no beef with Val. What do you ever do to me?
I don't know. What do half the people that you fucking torch on the regular do to you, mate?
That's true. Kyle Feld actually did give me one of the greatest moments of non-Manly Warringah Sea Eagles grand final viewing.
And what are you going to hate on the guy? Fucking hell.
Yeah, I know. I take it back. I retract the Kyle Feld statement, but I will double down in turn on the Corey Oates. I don't think there's going to be any suitors. Maybe he can sign for a Reggie the Blacktown, for example. They're a suicide squad of miscreant fucking players. So maybe where's he even from? Is there some park football team that maybe you'll go to? I don't think realistically that there's anyone he didn't leave in a blaze of glory or anything like that, he's not one of those guys where you go, wow, I can't believe he left the code so early. He had so much left in the tank.
He was one of the quickest declines as well. He sort of went from, okay, well, as much as he's a fuckhead, he's athletically talented in his position. He's got size, he's quick enough, he's strong.
And then performed in Origin, performed for Easts. He performed for the Eels for a while as well, yeah.
All of a sudden, forgot how to catch a ball.
Yeah, that last season, and then he was dropped.
Just had the fucking permanent yips under a high ball, which is a fundamental part of the position he played. So, good riddance.
Yeah. Let's talk about some good news because, we're going to get into some other shit.
Just before you do that, did you have any feedback from our resident fucking sound critic about whether I was off mic? Or didn't he take offense and start carrying on like I was some poor, helpless person on the internet when I fucking queried him about talking shit?
Can we not leave the fucking Glenn Blakely vanity project for another time?
I was going to say, is this do we have any notes? Yeah, the notes were the show sounds amazing at the moment, and except for Glenn, still sounds like shit.
That's bullshit. Yeah. You made that up.
Now, let's talk.
Do you want him to auto-tune your voice?
No, he had more to say about you than me, to be honest. But
I tell you what, I'm going to bust out the Melodyne if I've got time. If we finish this show early enough tonight, I'm going to bust out the Melodyne auto-tune, and it's going to be fucking, I'm Nate, I'm Jay, Sade.
I'm your guy from the MI. Oh, that's fucking brilliant. Yeah,
fucking G-Pain.
Just fucking works on so many levels.
It really does. And now I am going to invest the fucking rest of my evening until the sun comes up if I have to. No, we'll see. We'll see. I just wanted to light some candles, though, because, there's a bit of sex offendering going on this week.
Pour some petrol before you light the candles.
No petrol. This is I'm trying to give stepdad some of his Dairy Queen 2022 vibes.
That's it.
Give me
those vibes.
The Warriors. Now there's been a reduction in the COVID-19 related restrictions over in New Zealand. They've removed a bunch of them. And so after more than 2.5 years, there's going to be a rugby league game back in New Zealand again. And the Warriors can finally go home and play a game at fucking Mount Smart, which is just amazing. And the first game back, they are confident to announce that it will be the game versus the West Tigers on July the 3rd.
I thought you said good news.
It's good news for
cunts.
Good news for the Warriors. Like,
is there?
They get to go.
No, what? They've got to go back to New Zealand.
What about the fans?
They want to, though.
They've got to go and watch footy. They haven't been able to see their team live, and they've got to see them play the Tigers.
No, No, this is the same. This is the same as the Russian propaganda.
Jay, let people enjoy things.
Not
they want to go back. They want to go. This is not propaganda. I know. I hear what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying. But this is what they want and have wanted for a long time.
Oh, fuck, okay. I was just about to put a banner around my Facebook photo and said I stand with the Warriors. Being forced to do
They're sick of the fucking Kipper Ring dirt mall, all right? They just want to go home.
That's a fucking deep cut.
So
there's like four locals laughing their ass off right now. Yeah.
Oh, if you know, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be the first game that, at Mount Smart Stadium since they played the Rabbits there on August 30th, 2019. And the last actual major rugby league game was later that year in November when there was a test between the Kiwis and Great Britain in Christchurch. That's the last time New Zealand itself has seen rugby league there. So they're going to have the Tigers on July 3, pending a new variant, I suppose. Then they're going to host the Storm on July 29, Doggies August 12th, and the Gold Coast on September 3. So they're going to do four-game memberships, like for ticketed memberships for the purpose of these games.
Is there anything going on over there at the moment? Like, you know, do they have get-togethers in the stadium, or have they got a leagues club over there?
Only the homeless people that are currently residing there. That's about it.
Okay, fair enough.
I can picture it. For everything I know about New Zealand and socialising, they all pull up with cartons of Tallies, and they all pull up around those big.
Somebody's cooking some eggs somewhere.
Makeshift tables, and you know, someone's got a guitar banging away on Slipping Away, and yeah. And then fun and frivolity ensues, and nothing bad happens after that. So, I'm sure.
All that's they're talking about their horizon.
Talking about some place called Heaven. Must be a religion they've got over there. I don't know what the fuck it means. Probably related to Lord of the Rings. I don't know. Now, another. This is not necessarily a good news story, but it's just an interesting one because it relates to things that we've spoken about on the show many times before. But Xavier Coates was praised by Bellamy for being the most impressive player he had, in their preseason training camp.
Yep.
And then he went on to say, when asking about Coates, he said he didn't realise about that. He wanted to put his best foot forward. But then he said that he learned a lot during the preseason when he was introduced to Melbourne's brutal training camp and sent for a fortnight on the tools.
There you go.
So he had some feedback, and he said that in regards to the preseason training, he said, "I definitely felt my soul leaving my body, but I don't really talk about it. And then he said, went on to say that with the hitting the tools for 2 weeks, I've never picked up a tool in my life, so learning how to mow the lawns and paint, just a lot of different things. I'm happy I got through it, but I don't know if I'd want to pick up another tool in my life. I'm pretty happy being a football player."
Fucking
hell. That is how he passed the. That's how he became a Bellamy guy.
Look, how long have we had that story for? Is it 5-6 years now?
Yeah, maybe even longer.
And so, I remember like when I heard it originally. But how many? Why do no other clubs do this? Why is this still a Bellamy only thing when it is public fucking knowledge? Like it's out there in the lexicon. You know, that's what he does.
Maybe it's like the one team town thing in a town that gives no fucks about rugby league, and maybe it's just something that is more easily. I don't know. Anyone could do it. Anyone could line it up, but yeah.
Why aren't some clubs there? Okay, surely someone knows someone in waste management. Get them on the fucking in the landfill sorting the shit out. You know.
Yeah,
there's plenty of places. Well, the Knights,
you know, send them down to fucking coal mine.
Yeah, that's it. Fucking trap them down there.
Coal mine is not quite what it used to be.
The Broncos, send them down. Send them to clean the toilets at Kippering Dirtmoor. My barber, is in said dirt mall, and sometimes he puts his photos on Facebook. And like once he went to the bathroom at lunch, and he found that someone had bought like one of those like $3 Coles sponge cakes that are filled with jam and cream and stuff,
yeah,
and fucked it. and left a fucked sponge cake in the cubicle.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, I love it.
Oh. And he just put a picture of his guy, what the fuck are these? Dumbfounded. So are we going to call it? So, is the title of the episode G Pain or Fucked Sponge Cake?
Wow.
SpongeBob fuck pants.
Yeah, Glennie, we've got to bring up your Tigers, your beloved Tigers.
That I just want to know what was birthed 9 months after the sponge cake incident.
Well, nothing. They left it in the bathroom, didn't they? I mean, so just another tragic Redcliffe story.
Fuck. If only Kalen Ponga was from Redcliffe, that would have been such a good
somewhere,
joke.
Somewhere there's a single unemployed sponge cake trying to raise a little muffin.
Oh. Now, the Tigers. It came to light that Dane Laurie and James Roberts were on the pokies the night before the club was convincingly smashed by the Newcastle Knights on Sunday. And apparently the Great Northern Hotel in Newcastle was the place. They're playing until all hours, a.k.a. 10 p.m.
All hours.
Can you believe it?
Oh, those dirty stopouts.
They completed all of their training requirements. There were no COVID restrictions in place, and they didn't breach any curfews set by the club.
Yeah, so, it makes the news.
There's two, exactly.
This is what I say. The West Tigers sell papers and get clicks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
I will say it's not a great look. And in the context of the result and also our old favourite of seeing players yucking it up at the end of the game after they've been comprehensively beaten by the opposition, which is a pet hate for me. And I understand they're professionals and, you know, at the end of the day, if we have a bad day on the job, we don't all go home and kick the cat, if you know what I mean. But
yeah, and they got friends in the clubs.
Yeah,
and, you know,
I get it.
They grew up playing with
the team. They take all the privileges of working a different job. Yet when it suits them, it's like, oh, this is my job. This is my, you know, it's essentially my 9 to 5. Like, you wouldn't do that in your 9 to 5. Well, no, you know, you're right, but your job is a fucking unique situation that you take full advantage of whenever it suits you.
Look.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Like, Glennie, if you in your work...
In the MI.
In the MI. Like, if you made horrid mistakes and, you know, made incorrect orders from a manufacturer for a client, even though their order to you was spot on and correct, and your pricing was off and your invoicing was sloppy and your deliveries were always late and all of this stuff, you know, I think probably it would be akin to someone ringing you up and going, I'm not going to fix that today. I'll fix it tomorrow.
Mm.
And them spying you, slapping on the pokies at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Now, you have every right to do that, but it doesn't look great for your business.
No, exactly.
Or
if you had a deadline, due the next day, that would be the matching context. If you had a job due the next day,
and you miss
the deadline, and the day before it turns out you've been on the pokies, or you got pissed at lunchtime, had the long lunch, and
that's it.
Yeah, whatever. But I think it's only a bad look in the context of the result, and it wouldn't even be a story if they won.
Yeah, but, exactly. That's correct.
But, you know.
But again, you're also a representative of the club, you know, and whilst there is nothing they've done is illegal, and there's no indication or suggestion, or from us at least, that they've done something wrong, there's a difference between, you know, what you can do and what you should do.
Yeah, I guess sometimes. That's a fair point. Also, clearly, they didn't pull a massive win out of the pokies or get the feature multiple times because they look like sad cunts when they run out on Sunday. So, if they had have, maybe it would have changed the result.
Yeah.
Or maybe they felt like they'd earned their paycheck that night.
Yep.
He's dead. Maybe they really cleaned it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Look, I said, I think that it is true that, you know, that the media beating up on the Tigers and they make themselves a pretty easy target. I'll give them, you know, the media gets the clicks and sells the papers or whatever. And it's really is a nothing story, but I still maintain that for the Tigers, until they change the perception of themselves as a club and as a culture and as a playing group, then they need to just bunker, shut everything down.
Have a siege mentality. It's us versus them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's us versus everyone in the world.
Also, don't just, and I know this they should have lives, and I respect that. But don't post fucking photos. Like, just get the fuck off social media. Get out of the media in general. Don't be a dialer quote. If any of the ex-players, Benny Elias, and fuck them off away from the place.
Yeah. Well, look, I'll tell you what. On that note, you know, in my corporate life, if I had ever have put a photo on Instagram saying anything about the name of the company or what I was doing or, you know, tagged an official account, you know, anything, I would have been dragged over the fucking coals saying you do not associate this company with your private social media.
Mm.
Yep. You know?
So if they want to go on the whole, oh, you wouldn't do this in your job, well, yeah. Yeah. Look,
actually, know? It would be harder. It would be a harder line.
That's it. So.
But I just think that is part of the solution for the Tigers, outside of playing fucking better football and everyone will shut up if you actually show effort and heart, and it will certainly stop the fan slashing there is. But this is years and years and years of every preseason, oh, fucking Luke Brooks is going to be unleashed, or, oh, with the boys have been training. And I know a lot of clubs do it, but the Tigers are the ones that go out there and play like fucking bastards every season and talk, you know, there's all this media attention. Just bunker the fuck down and stay out of it.
But every other club doesn't. Honestly, all the people talk about preseason are contenders and the Tigers. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure in Newcastle, you know, whatever fucking publication they still pretend they can read up there, they've got something about the Knights. And
still chiseled on a stone tablet in Newcastle.
That's it. So, but you're right. The Tigers
or fucked in a sponge cake. It's the only language I understand in Newcastle.
I think I know what you're doing next after you swing by the supermarket on the way home, Glennie.
Nicklin's going to go, look, I don't understand the request, but sure, I'll get you 8 sponge cakes.
I don't understand it. I thought he wanted to do something gross, but I went into the room and he was just squeezing the sponge cakes around his own neck.
Now,
why has he got his own face on one of them? It's just weird.
Yeah, just quickly, the story of the week obviously was George Burgess. He won't be playing, given that he was interviewed by police to assist with their inquiries over sexual touching allegations. And a woman spoke to police last week over this incident, and it allegedly occurred in Mascot. That in itself, that's bad enough. And what the fuck is in the water down there?
Yeah.
All these cunts at Cogra have to get your sexual offendery as soon as they throw on the fucking red V. Now,
because if you play for it or you support it, you're a cunt.
Well, I get it. They say there's that phrase that, you know, the slogan. It's like, yeah, the red V's a part of me or whatever it is.
Yeah, but there's,
it's not. There's it's other people's red V's. Get your fucking fingers out of it.
There's some brackets after it though. When you're an actual member, we only see red V as part of me.
Yeah.
The members get one that's bracketed that says even if I don't want it.
Oh, right.
So
gotcha. Yeah. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, and after on the heels of, like, you know, the Tristan Saylor stuff and the Jack DeBellin stuff, I mean, it's plenty fucking bad
enough.
And the
Shane Cash stuff.
The Zebby stuff, I suppose. what a year the club's had.
Oh,
fucking Trotters, don't even get me started on that guy.
Oh, my God. Dragons
I would like to put it out there that we're not suggesting Zebby's a sexual offender.
No.
Cashy and Trotters, yes. Zebby, you're safe.
Now, the Dragons, on Team List Tuesday, though, they released a statement and they said, look, we are yet to receive the necessary and required information regarding this Burgess matter, so we can't come to a decision on the players' availability for round three. So we're selecting. The NRL requires us on Tuesday afternoon to select a 24-man squad, and so by virtue of that, in number 24 is George Burgess, because even though these allegations are hanging over him, we've received no information from the NRL about it. So we are just like. The fucking multiple points of decision-making process that has to happen for that to happen.
And as a special game day theme...
They made and released a statement about it.
A special game day theme, we're promoting how well we like to treat women, and the face of that theme for the day will be Jack DeBellin. Yeah. Unfortunately, Anthony Griffin's made an error. Unfortunately, he was supposed to name the team. He mistakenly put out a list of 17 names of our victims. Unfortunately, yeah. It's a slight oversight from Anthony's part. He is old and a racist.
Yeah, and like the NRL aren't doing that. They haven't decided whether they're going to do the no-fault stand-down thing yet. But
what was it? Was it 7 years or 11 years?
Oh, it was seven. Was it seven or was it five? It was the smaller number that you said. Oh, it was definitely the smaller range that you said, for sure.
Here we are. So it's in New South Wales. So, sexual touching has replaced the offence of indecent assault.
Okay.
Right. There we go. So, it's guilty of offence. What actions? Yep, being a fucking grub. What the police must prove. Possible defences. Oh, God. Which court will hear the matter? It's a Table 2 offence. No, they're not. They're not under special care. Oh God, that's a parent or a grandparent. Wouldn't surprise me.
Sweet home Alabama.
In any case, while the NRL hasn't decided whether they're going to enact the no fault stand down rule in this case, just from a general optics perspective, take the higher ground. Leave him out for a week completely.
Yeah.
Why do you, you know what? Like, why as a club do you want to poke the public relations bear like that? It's just fucking mind-boggling.
Here's the thing, and I can't fucking count how many times that I've said this, but for new listeners, here you go. This one's fucking easy, Dragons. Here's your fucking free PR consultation. Press release. We are aware of the reports of this and have spoken with George. We understand that no player is larger than the issue of sexual violence against women in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And while this is in no way an admission of guilt on George's part, he is standing down pending further information.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. You know? You can say he's offered to or voluntarily. You can put that sort of language in there. Yep. And
there you go.
Yeah.
I am not at all saying I am guilty. However, I accept what a massive and important issue this is in our society with, mm-hmm. you know, what is it? One woman a week being killed by a partner or ex-partner.
Yep.
You know, and that's not including the sexual violence stats.
Yep.
So I am not bigger than this issue, so I'm standing down in solidarity with victims everywhere. It's so fucking dumb.
Yeah, it is.
Imagine if you could get a club for bringing the game into disrepute. Like, seriously, the NRL can do it to players.
Yeah.
How can they not go at the Dragons here and go, you guys are so fucked to name somebody? Like, your club has a probable rapist playing for it now. Like, the allegations and discoveries of your past players that have come to light recently. You've had the son of a former player up and coming in the club.
Yep.
Like, fucking chill. Just fucking chill on the we don't have to, so we won't.
Yeah. Anyway. Exactly. And what a segue straight through until the team list and for the round three matchups ahead. And guess who's playing on Thursday night? It's the Dragons taking on the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. This one, Burgess has obviously dropped off and become one of the omitted reserves, as predicted. McCulloch is out. So Mbai will be starting hooker. Jackson Ford goes to the bench. Jetski replaces George Burgess. And the Sharkies, the Moot, is out injured. Teague Wilton suspended. Ikavalu replaces Multalo on the wing, which is a a great replacement, I think. And Wilton's back row spot goes to Talakai. Trindle returns from suspension, and he will be on the bench. What do you say, Glennie?
I think the Sharks, to be honest.
I'm very confident the Sharks are going to win this one.
I don't think the Sharks will win by as much as what I might have suggested looking forward to this game a couple of weeks ago, if I was honest. But I think that they'll have a little bit too much for the Dragons at this stage of the season, and they're coming together faster than I expected, the Sharks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Dragons will be disgraced by any stretch of imagination. I think it'll be a competitive game, but I think the Sharks will squeeze a win out.
There you go. And what are the tipping? What are the betting agents saying? Sharks $1.72 at the moment.
$1.71 on sports bet. $2.15 to the Dragons.
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
Which sounds about right.
Yep. Do you have any comments on that one there, Stepdad?
This one's a toss-up. You know, both of these sides were disappointing in round one and stepped it up massively in round two.
Yeah.
The Dragons had the onus of going up against the club that stood up to the white supremacist views of their coach. But, you know, it seems that they may not have that with Cronulla, because There's somewhat of a kindred spirit in terms of beliefs and culture. So the Sharks are new, but I think much more talented. So as new as in, you know, less time together, but just more actual football talent out there. So I'm going to tip the Sharks.
I think the Sharks are just a better side defensively as well. Okay, the pub slot game. The West Tigers take on the Warriors. Out at Campbelltown, Glennie.
Yep. Happy hunting ground. Nothing has ever gone wrong out there.
Tamau named to return.
Oh, how good.
Twal drops to the bench. McKaylee to the reserves. Garner replaces Tuolungi in the back row. And Little is also back. Simkin benched. And Hastings got 2 weeks, didn't he?
I thought it was three.
So, did he? Oh, so the downgrade attempt was
unsuccessful.
Failed. Okay, right. Okay. So 2 weeks. So, Jesus Christ, they're in the wars.
The list I'm looking at, NRL.com, still has him at six over. They brought Madden in. Is that what you said?
Yep. I see Madden's there 19, so yeah. I'm assuming. Yep. Yeah, I'm assuming
and
he's in.
Tuolungi's suspended or injured?
I don't know. I mean, it just says it just replaces. I mean, I didn't hear anything about him getting injured.
Yeah, he went on report at one stage. Yeah, so maybe he dropped a week.
Maybe.
Look, this.
I was going to say, you wouldn't drop him on form.
No.
Best player the Tigers have had in a decade.
Future of your club.
Oh, fucking.
The Warriors side. Okay, so Ash Taylor's out, injured. And so Cody Nikorima comes back in. So they're playing a bit of musical chairs with the halves over there. And that's the only change.
Mm-hmm. Look, Tigers are $2.25 outsiders playing at home against the Warriors.
There you go. That's where you want to go, because points bet have only got them at $2.15, so the value's over where you're looking, Glennie.
Yeah, sports bet. Hastings out is a big one, given he was probably one of the very few players that actually showed any interest last weekend. So that's a massive out for the Tigers.
I think he's better in your head than he actually has been.
I don't think he was fantastic, but
it's all relative,
tried.
Nathan. It's all relative.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's fucking
relative to Luke Brooks.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Jock
Madden deserves a run in first grade. I don't think he'll let anyone down. Lidsey back at hooker. My mate Jake Simpkin, he seems to be a bit of a scapegoat for some of the fan base, which is disappointing. Look, there's been games where the Tigers have needed to win and they've come up against the Warriors and the Tigers have been playing at home and they've been comprehensively beaten. So that's happened more times in my life than I care to recount at this stage of the game.
It's going to happen again?
No, I'm still going to back the Tigers.
I thought we were going to get history made then.
Nah, come on.
all roads will lead into the Glen Tiffin and the Warriors.
Was it last year? Last year was Reece Walsh's first year, so it was his first year in first grade there at the Warriors, wasn't it? So he he had probably his absolute breakout performance against the Tigers, and if I remember, it was at Campbelltown. So
it's his house now. since the previous owner was stripped of his ownership rights when he went to prison.
Exactly.
He bought it at government auction.
Brilliant. I'm still going to back the Tigers, but with zero confidence.
I just wonder if, like, how much does the embarrassment of last weekend, is there anything that can galvanise these guys
who've been it was the end of last season, but last week, they were one game removed from being 38-0, comprehensively smashed 38-0 by the Wooden Spooner.
Yeah,
they were one game removed from it.
When they had about $1.5 million less worth of players there as well.
Fuck.
Right. Warriors in a close one.
Warriors in a blowout.
See, this is the thing. Warriors are one of those teams, kind of like the Titans, where they're fun to watch because they're going to score points and they're going to score some great tries, and they also don't give a fuck about defense, generally speaking.
Correct.
So this could be the type of game that the Tigers, you know, can really get themselves into as well. Just have a shootout. 38-34 or something.
Or 38-0. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, dreaming.
Yeah, no.
They're not going to run down the left, is that what you're saying? Warriors aren't going to run down the left, is that what you're saying? Yeah, right. Yeah. Now, the Rabbitohs take on the Roosters. Big game, the 8 o'clock one, Sydney Olympic Park. Milne and Paulo switch jerseys. Murray is named to start. Havili benched. And the Roosters, Crichton is benched. Nat Butcher starts in his place. Watson returns to hooker with Hutchinson benched. So very similar lineup, just shuffles.
I can't go past the Roosters, to be honest.
Yeah, look, like the Rabbitohs definitely showed us more last week than previously, but
so did the Roosters.
There was some components there of a Melbourne Storm side that appeared to be cruising a little bit, and then the real momentum changes when there was a guy sent to the bin.
Mm.
So, yeah, I take it with a grain of salt. I mean, I expect the Rabbitohs to improve week on week because, you know, they can't really go backwards from where they were in round one. But, yeah, I think the Roosters comfortably.
13 plus,
do you say? Yeah. All right.
Fuck.
What do you say, Glenny?
That's what I reckon. 13 plus.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, stepdad. Do you 13 plus as well?
No, not at all.
Right. Moving on with Saturday, the Penrith Panthers take on the Newcastle Knights out of Bathurst. Brian To'o is out with Taylan May replacing him in the back line. Mm. Cleary is named in the reserves, which means he's definitely playing, and the Knights side. Ponga returns at fullback. That drops Hoy out. Lachlan Fitzgibbon is out, but Daniel Saifidi returns, so he's named at prop. Barnett shifts across to the vacant second row spot for what's his face, Fitzgibbon, and Croker retains his bench spot. Well, it's the March Grand Final.
Yeah.
To battle for the March Premiership. Both sides unbeaten at the top of the table. No more games in March coming our way. This is it. For the brawl, for it all. Like, someone's O has to go.
I think the Panthers got a bit of a wake-up call last week with just how much St. George came back at them. And they were down on troops and they had injuries to key players and they didn't have Cleary, but they did it fairly easily, it seems, the week before. So I hope last week put a bit of sense into them, where they get back to that really, you know, error-free, very careful style of football. It means a lot to them to get out to Bathurst and put a show on for the crowd out there. So I really think they'll just be too focused for Newcastle, who would go into this game considering themselves every chance to beat Penrith. Like, they've been playing, you know, some very good football. Bradman Best has had an absolutely fantastic start to the season. It's going to be extremely dangerous out there. But I think Penrith over the course of 80 minutes will be too much for them.
Yeah, I think Bradman Best is only as good as the balls he gets given and the holes he gets put through.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah. I think Penrith...
I don't think he's doing it himself.
We also need Kickow to go back to that, you know, positive game Kickow. Whereas last week, you know, yeah, okay, yes, he scored two tries, but he also did a lot of dumb Kickow shit.
Yeah, yeah, you got to be carried away. I think that, but maybe that was... I mean, if it wasn't Kickow and we hadn't seen, you know, 99 other games on which to base our opinion,
yeah,
I would have said it was just the exuberance of the milestone game. But no, it's not the case, because that was just kick out being kick out. I mean, that was 60 game kick out, and the other 40 is the other kick out.
Yeah,
round one kick out, yeah, is the other guy.
I think
the Panthers are obviously heavy favourites, and I see no reason to tip against them. I mean, I said that they wouldn't play as well again as they did in round one, and they're not going to need to. In this game, I think the Knights have been, they were great against the Roosters. I feel like the Roosters were somewhat ambushed a little bit too, and just a bit slow start to the season. Whereas last week's game, I can't really, you know, I see a lot of teams doing that and more to the West Tigers. So I'm not going to use that as any sort of great benchmark of success or quality, or yeah, projected success or quality. I think the Panthers are going to win this one easily.
Yep.
Yeah. I think if Cleary plays, I think it'll be a cakewalk, but if he doesn't, I think Penrith, their ability to control the middle with their forwards will be key, especially against Newcastle's pack. If Newcastle get the upper hand with field position and get some ascendancy in Penrith's half, I think that the fact that To'o's not there is a big out for Penrith. And I think, you know, you've got 100%. May and Targo, relatively inexperienced guys. I think, you know, guys like Gagai and Best and Ponga coming around the back could give them some troubles, but I still think Penrith would be way too strong.
Right, moving on. The Melbourne Storm take on the Parramatta Eels down there at the Korean Housewife on Saturday afternoon. Brandon Smith listed in reserves for the Storm, otherwise unchanged. And I believe, actually, there is a change to this now. Harry Grant and Wishart, do they live together? And they've both been COVID. They've both been hit with the COVID. And as I think Harry Grant has, and as a contact, I think Wishart's out as well, which changes the complexion of this game if Brandon Smith is unfit to play.
Yeah.
I get that the teams have to put up these, in COVID times, they have to put up these 24 list of players on Tuesday, and they might, you know, fuck about a bit with the, you know, everything past number 17. But, you know, for the Storm's sake, I would hope that Brandon Smith is ready to go and he's not just a name to fill out a list. Because
that was one thing we missed in the news. What did you make of his trolling of Latrell?
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't, Latrell had an issue with it, so.
Yeah.
Apparently. South Sydney were fuming.
Well, yeah, but yeah.
Do you, the I saw the unfortunately I was on a 3-day ban, so I couldn't interact with it. But I saw the banter in regards to the journo that said, you know, it's better to be first than right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I saw someone suggest that it might have been that Nathan Ryan.
Yeah.
Who. Is he now a digi for a club or something? Someone mentioned
he was digi for the Knights, and then he's since moved on from that. He was doing that for like 1 year, maybe two,
yeah.
And then he's on to the next thing. I don't know. I haven't seen
because he had a self built pedestal that he planted himself well and truly on when he was a somewhat of a journo.
Yeah, he's calling himself like the exclusive or something, wasn't he?
Yeah,
or, yeah,
and had a amateur wrestling He was trying to make the WWE or whatever it was, and he was an amateur wrestler. And it's nothing I like more than people that fucking make their own pedestal and plant themselves upon it, just getting a little bit humbled.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
What's best in life, Nathan?
Oh, is it? That's what's best in life.
Oh, I thought you were serious. That you love, like how you've put yourself on the MI pedestal.
I am the MI, mate. I am the MI.
Heart and soul of that industry, mate.
Fucking please.
The Eels. Kafusi's bench, Nathan Brown named it lock. Gregor replaces Jake Arthur on the bench, so they've been listening. And look, the Eels, one thing they've had this season, it seems to be an issue with that defense.
Yeah.
Is it strictly because Wonga Blake is on the wing? Maybe so. And perhaps that's an avenue for Blake Ferguson to return. I don't know. But they've had, like, while they, you know, we saw signs last week of the team that they are supposed to be, but the defense is the big problem there. And the Storm appear to be, you know, building and, you know, reasonably tough even at this early stage of the season. If they don't go in there with a recognized hooker, then, you know, it certainly changes the complexion of the game a little bit, but I don't think it reverses the result for me.
Yeah, that's it.
I still think Storm to win.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be – I actually am looking forward to this game. I think it'll be a quality game, but I expect Melbourne to win.
Well, especially when you've got that halves pairing of Hughes and Munster.
Mm.
But Hughes' running game is on point this season. Yep. And there aren't many sixes in the game at the moment that can pick apart a poorly communicating defence like Cameron Munster does. And I feel if they get their tail up, then it could be messy for the Eels.
Yeah, and if Melbourne's forwards get a roll on and then those guys are running off the back of that, I think Parra has leaked enough points in the first couple of weeks to show that they're not going to handle that at all well.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Right, moving on, the Canberra Raiders take on the Gold Coast Titans down there in Canberra on Saturday night. The Raiders side, Kotrick returns from injury.
Chotrick. Isn't it Chotrick now?
Yeah. I heard that about a year ago, but it was funny. It was only one guy on the ABC grandstand was running with it and none of the other guys. And so it made me start to like doubt it. I'm thinking, the guy, I remember whoever it was on grandstand, I can't remember who it was, but whoever it was, they made a very compelling argument, you know, regarding, you know, the origins of the name and the rest of it. And it's just never heard it again. And now 2 years later, now I think he's putting his foot down, maybe. I'd love to get a rule.
How should a name be pronounced? Like if it's Smith, right? How do you pronounce that?
Right.
Smith.
Well, that's the thing. If a person...
Smith's usually a Y with an E on
it. I was probably
being sarcastic.
Let's say that person comes out and says, oh, no, I want to be Smythe.
Yeah, 100% should be the way they want it to. They pronounce it. Because it's probably not just them. They're probably not making it up just for shits and giggles. It's the way that, you know, their family pronounce it. And in the case of Smith, it's, you know, what the most common name or one of the most common names in the world. But that doesn't... That doesn't rule out the possibility that there's one branch on the tree that started doing it this way and
there's not continue a name to do in place.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like it was like I say, like when we're doing the MMA podcast and stuff, and like the announcers, like John Anik with the UFC, he would literally they literally are provided the fighters saying their name themselves, exactly the way they wanted to, and it's just that simple. That's all that needs to be provided, and that becomes part of a media kit that goes out to all the broadcasters. Yep. And then there's no excuses, and there's also there's no misconceptions or there's no confusion or anything either, because you've literally got it right there. Yeah. Learn it phonetically if you have to, you know.
That's it.
But yeah, so if there's been has there actually been a ruling now? That's actually it's become widespread now on the Chotrick front.
I'm hearing Chotrick.
Oh, good, because I don't really listen to the commentators as well. That's another problem. So I don't listen to the TV commentators much. If I'm listening to the radio, it's because obviously I'm in a position where I'm in the car or something and I can't be watching things.
Pretending you're from the 30s.
Yeah, on the wireless. hand cranked. So what are we talking about here? Schneider returns at half, so that pushes Frawley to the bench.
What are we talking about here? Yeah. I've been doing it 12 years, motherfucker.
Now, still don't know. The Titans side. Jermaine Osako is listed in the reserves. We didn't talk about that, but we can get to it. And the rest of the squad is unchanged. And so, yeah, Jermaine Osako, there was, speaking of being first and being right, I don't know if there was like some crazy last-minute audacious bid by the Gold Coast Titans to secure the services of Jermaine Osako, but the tweets were going out from Dobbo, who I don't know if he still is, but you know, he was on Triple M. That's where I remember him from. And he was tweeting in the morning, on Monday morning, I think, saying, you know, like breaking, Jermaine Osako is set to be released effective immediately from the Broncos to take up an offer with the Parramatta Eels, which made perfect sense to me because they'd chuck him on the wing there and they would stop Wanga Bean being on the wing. That's it. But within like an hour, and then someone pasted it out, put a link to tweet in our chat, and it was like, and I saw the yellow and everything, and I didn't even look twice at it. I thought, okay, yeah, okay, so that Eels thing has happened. But no, then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's effectively released, immediately released from the Broncos because he's going to the Titans. So, look, obviously from the player's standpoint, moving families and all that sort of thing just doesn't have to happen. You can just drive down the Goldie and just drive down the M1 and, you know, do what he has to do for the footy. So it's obviously a lot easier for him, and he definitely wasn't getting any time or any looking at the Broncos. Mm. And I thought it was a Seabold thing, but it's carried on, you know, throughout the Kevy era. And like I don't think his skills and abilities, you know, justified the lack of game time he got at the Broncos, considering the list they had.
And also, like, a fucking more than decent goal kicker.
Absolutely.
Yep. Exactly.
Who's kicking goals for the Titans at the moment?
Sexy.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's not super accurate. Like he's all right, but he's. He's not smacking right from all over the field either.
And Osako, do I remember it correctly that he had a couple of cracking field goals as well?
Yeah, when
Milford was cowardly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a handy pickup. The only thing with the Eels, that's it, because with the Eels you can easily draw a line and go, yeah, defensively they're having issues. The root of like at least one side of the field's defensive problems is Wanga Blake on the wing. Here's a guy that's played on the wing heaps. Chuck him in the side. Yep. Bang. Titans, on the other hand, Sammy's been playing great. Has been one of their best players to start the season. Marju is solid, and he played great last week. Mm. There's none of those guys are an easy drop to, you know, swap over for Osako. And Jaden Campbell, you know, he's young, but he certainly hasn't really, you know, put too many feet wrong.
Yeah, I think they've doubled down on Jaden Campbell. I don't think he's going anywhere. It could be signing as maybe. Well. But
yeah, possibly.
But, you know, Brian Kelly probably hasn't been setting the world on fire, but I don't know.
He's been all right, though. Yeah.
But Osako, I think he played a little bit of centre from time to time at the Broncos, but...
Yeah, I mean, they could maybe shift Sammy into the centres and... Yeah, they could maybe, you know, shift Sammy into the centres or something for one of the other two and bring him on. But, yeah. Anyway, the game, though. Titans and the Raiders. The Raiders down in Canberra would be absolutely burning from what happened to them last week up in North Queensland.
Yeah, they would be.
They're a better side than what we saw.
Well, they should be.
The Cowboys are. Surely they've got to be. I mean... I guess now it's the Starling era. There's no more of this, you know, there's no options there. I mean, Starling's the guy.
Yeah.
He has to, so look, I am going to tip the Raiders to bounce back.
Raiders, they're solid favourites. $1.71 to $2.15 against the Titan. I think it's not quite as
wide on points bet that I'm looking at.
That's pretty good money for the Titans given the way that they've played. First couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, they're not a massive travelling team, the Titans. But,
and you know, and it's not that time of year yet where no one
wants to play in Canberra.
Just yet. But
yeah.
I think Canberra is a good enough side that they should win this game just to try and repair their damaged pride from last week. So I'm going to tip Canberra.
Yeah. Yeah, would I be surprised if the Titans won this game? Absolutely not.
Agree.
Absolutely not.
I'm going to say that the Titans went try for try with Parramatta you know, to start the season. So attack, I don't think is an issue for them. And
no, attack is definitely not an issue for
them. And Canberra can fucking spend 20 minutes out of a game leaking shit.
Yeah.
So I'm going the Titans on this one.
I think the problem with the Titans is their defense.
There is some...
Well, no, this is. I mean, I don't think this game is a toss-up, but I mean, I would not be the least bit surprised if the Titans managed to win.
Yep.
Okay, moving to Sunday afternoon, Suncorp Stadium. It's the derby. Broncos take on the Cowboys. Broncos side, unchanged, 17, following a successful start to the season. The Cowboys have lost Mitchell Dunn for the season, so he's replaced on the bench by Reuben Cotter. Otherwise, the same as the big win over the Canberra Raiders last week. Remember when we went on a streak of these games being decided by like 1 point either way, or 2 points either way?
Yeah.
I suspect this will not be one of them.
Yeah, really? I mean, do you think that they're like, if the Cowboys are the team that they were when they beat the Raiders last weekend, are they not about, does that not put them on about the same sort of footing in terms of quality?
As where the Broncos are at?
Yeah, right now. I mean, it's not the same as when they were, it's not the same as the 1 point games when they were vying for grand final victories and that sort of era where they were both great sides. This is but they both seem to be about, have found the same level again. You know what I mean?
As
one another. Yeah.
I think the Cowboys, that what we saw last weekend is as about as good a performance as you'll see out of the 2022 Cowboys. And I think the Broncos have a higher ceiling.
That's fair.
Yeah. I think the Broncos are about at their ceiling at the moment. I just don't think the Cowboys are going to reach the height they did last week again.
Yeah. Okay. I think the Broncos have got a bit more in them.
Yeah. I don't know. I remain unconvinced.
I'm going to tip the Broncos. But, although, you know, Cowboys will be supported there, but... I think the Broncos will be too solid. Reynolds will be better for the run last week.
Yeah, that's it. Unless he gets injured in the first 3 seconds.
Well, he does have that his game throughout his entire career.
He catches coronavirus again or something.
Sprains an eye.
If he can. Yeah, I mean, if he can keep doubling up on the recurrent injuries as he has throughout his entire career, I mean, maybe he can double up on the COVID 2 weeks in a row.
Yes.
First time in recorded history for humans. Moving on to the last game, 6:15 PM, late one down there at Brookie, and it's the Mighty Manly Sea Eagles taking on the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs for the return to Brookie game. First time there in quite a while, and it's the first time there after they've done a complete resurface from the fucking core of the earth up.
And, there'll be grass there now. How good.
Thrown on the new grandstand and got the COE up there in the back there. I'm not sure if the Centre of Excellence is finished or not yet, but the new grandstand, it's kind of the occasion for the opening of the new grandstand on the end there, replacing the Family Hill. And a wonderful occasion it will be. And motherfucker, you've walked the Brookie surface with me. You know there's grass there, you lying ass dog.
I tripped in the fucking potato field that was the plains. Yeah,
I wish you had a broke your fucking neck.
I love how Nate tells these fucking stories, and you can hear the fucking actual belief in his voice that there are people out there going, "Oh wow, that sounds wonderful. What a fucking great club Manly seem to be." Just that fucking hope. Where really. All it is these days is it's past hate, so there's no more of this, "Oh, Manly fucking hates you." It's apathy. People are like, "Well, fucking about time."
They call it the family. You know why they call it the Family Hill? Because that's where the Trbojevic family stay. They all stand on the hill, and they only do that so everyone else knows which part of Brookvale to avoid.
I tell you, there are not more scared brothers anywhere on planet Earth at the moment. And I know there are siblings cowering in subways in Ukraine being bombed. There are not two more scared brothers in the world after these cunts have seen how Turbo's been playing and are concerned for their future. Because he's the only reason they have contracts.
You, sir, that's the most defamatory thing I've seen on this episode.
The grip strength of... Jake and Ben, just for like several years now, to just be grasping the coattails of Tom so hard.
Yeah, Glennie,
the fucking Glennie's, veins Glennie's got a... protruding from their forearms. It's fucking sight to behold.
Glennie's been given a little sniff and he's fucking just wrapped
fucking
his lips around
get into
fucking
it.
Jay's exhaust.
Manly 30 plus.
Well, they fucking want to. I mean, at this stage,
if they can't get up for this one, fucking put a line through them.
I want to see, I want to see 30 points scored. I mean, however much they win by, I want to see 30 points on the board. But I tell you what, if they lose this game, after the week I've had in terms of like sporting teams that I support, if they lose this game, I swear to fucking God.
What are you talking about?
I will kill myself.
Fucking George's Niang was inspirational against
literally
the Miami Cucks.
Yeah, and also, and look, that was fucking great. And they're the only fucking bright light.
I can't support that ignorance,
fucking,
mate.
They're the only bright light on my my sports supporting fucking radar at the moment. I tell you,
fucking,
it's terrible
buckets,
when you see a team
bucket of shit.
Oh yeah, absolute bucket of shit. Oof. I mean, it was that much. It was that easy that we didn't even bother suiting up fucking
Embiid and Harden.
Joel and fucking Harden, yeah.
Exactly.
Didn't have to. Why would you?
Oh, okay.
Save him for the real games.
You've only got Jimmy Butler. Okay, we'll play no All-Stars then.
Look at you two back on common ground. It's bloody beautiful to see. Love it. Manly by 30.
The doggies have got Thompson back propping up, and Waddell is benched. Look, there's two names that really catch my eye in the Bulldog side, Hockenball. And that's Corey Waddell and Jay Knockenball. Because, like, honestly, look for a supercut of his defensive misses in that game on the weekend. It's some of the worst, most clueless shit that we've seen in years.
Not for Knockenball.
And I'm hoping, I'm praying. This, you know, he doesn't line up on the same side of the field as Saab, so it won't be like, oh, he's been out-jumped by Saab. He will get thoroughly out-jumped by Ruben Garrick, who is like a foot shorter than him. That's if they have to go to the air, because they made us fucking have a two-man overlap and just decide to go through their hands. I don't know. But, look, this is the game when you've played teams that are undoubtedly going to be top four sides at the end of the season and you've had a slow start to the season, you need to blow the fucking cobwebs out sooner or later. And this is the game, blow the fucking cobwebs out and start your season. For fuck's sake, you can't.
That's it.
The end. And they're actually like reasonable, you know, actually pretty short price favorites, maybe first or second favorites for the entire round, which I don't think is fucking earned, to be honest. I mean, that's reputation rather than
it's not.
You know, anything.
Yeah. $4 for the Bulldogs is also reputation the other way.
Yeah, I mean, they had a good win in round one. They only just lost
in
round two.
Here's the thing. Betting doesn't work for agencies if they give both teams $4 odds. So,
Thanks for Jay explaining that.
That's it.
Eagles by 30.
Right. Thanks, Glennie. I love the cut of your jib, mate.
Fuck off, mate. We'll never be on the same side.
Fuck, you're a hostile little cunt sometimes. After all, everything I do for you.
Glennie, who's your NBA team?
One thing. Don't have one. Don't have a team in American sports.
His team in American sports, I bet you his NBA team is Chicago Bulls up until...
never. No, I was always, I guess, if I just purely for the fact that I followed, like, Iverson is my all-time favorite player, so I wouldn't say I was a Sixers fan, but I followed them more than any other
you
club
been,
because
though.
Of him.
Well, you should have been though. If Iverson's your favorite, I mean, what prevented you from going all in?
Oh, just US sports trading fucking players. He ended up fucking at the Nuggets and
That thing that Jay was talking about,
Iverson, it was Dominique Wilkins, so you know, I could be a Trae Young guy now. But I'm not. Well,
you're fucking giving birth to him.
Well, I know it's hard to believe, but when two people love each other very much, you know, things happen. Eventually someone gives birth, but it's generally not the male.
Glenn, it's actually socially acceptable these days to say that you've given birth as in that both of you have been through the experience together.
Right. Well, I'm not socially acceptable.
Yeah,
please and I'm check. Not laying, please, I'm not please. Laying claim to Leo Blakely.
Can you please check your privilege at the door?
My significant privilege.
Yeah.
It's a privilege to do this twice a week with you fine gentlemen.
That's it.
Now, listen, no one put a thread up for the purpose of mailbag this week, so we don't have any mailbag entries. However, I'd just like to... I got a message from someone by the name of Mike. It must be in the Facebook group, and he found me through being the admin of the Facebook group, and he sent me a tremendous story. And it's 100% true. The famous rugby league president for the Broncos flies to Baghdad to watch a young Iraqi play rugby league and is suitably impressed and arranges for him to come over and join in the Broncos and, based in Brisbane, obviously. He signs him to a one-year contract and the kid joins the team for the preseason. 2 weeks later, the Broncos are down by 2 tries to St. George, only 10 minutes left. The coach gives the tap to the young Iraqi kid, sends him on, and he's a sensation. Scores 3 tries in the last 10 minutes, wins the game for the Broncos. The fans are thrilled. The players love him. Everyone's around this kid. They think it's amazing. The media are in love with him. So he comes off the ground and he phones his mum to tell her about his first day in rugby league. And he says, "Mum, guess what? I played for 10 minutes today. We were down 2 tries. I scored 3 and we won. Everyone loves me, the fans, the media." "Wonderful," says his mum, interrupting him. "Let me tell you about my day. Your father got shot in the street and robbed. Bullets were sprayed over our entire house. Your sister and I were ambushed and beaten, and your brothers joined a gang of looters, and all while you were having such a great time playing rugby league." And the young guy, the young fella's just totally upset, and he's all, "Mum, what can I say? I'm sorry." And she said, "Sorry, you're sorry. It's your fault we moved to Caboolture in the first place."
Very funny.
I like it.
So thank you. Thanks for that, Mike. That's fucking tremendous. It gave me a great laugh, and I had to bring it out in the show. So that's it, boys. The Bulch. Yeah, I was almost going to call an audible and just throw Kippering in the shit again.
It's your fault. I have to shop at the Kippering dirt mall.
Yeah, exactly. And that is a full time for episode 448. Thanks for listening, everyone. Head to thisweekinleague.com/links and you'll get links to our various communities, social media, Patreon, etc., etc. If you'd like to support the show, become a patron, drop us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, tell a friend, all of the above. Now, I just want to say thank you to some wonderful patrons who've come on board recently, like Reese, Mullers, Hayden, Mick, John, and someone by the name of Texas Panther. And I have to wonder if it's like Texas is in like, Western Queensland, or Texas is in Texas, Texas.
Or Texas as in the things that you ride on stuff with.
When you're a Canberra Raiders coach. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Thanks so much for your support, guys. And look forward to learning more about you guys and hearing your contributions on the membersodes via Patreon as we progress through the season. Fellas, anything you want to add before we pull a pin on this one?
Manly by 30.
Thanks, mate. Anything about the Tigers, or you're off them now?
No, I love the Tigers. Always will. Can't see them winning by 30 if I want to say so.
You'll always love them.
Always love the Tigers. Always.
Yeah?
Yes.
Are you their bodyguard?
Auto-tune this. We're not fucking built that tune out. Look out. It's not going to happen.
Go on then. Nah. Don't make threats. You're not going to keep.
You're right. I'm not doing that.
All right. That's it, folks. All right. And we'll talk to you guys on Sunday.
Later.
See ya.
Fuck me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.